It is 3 years almost to the day that I suggested to you, and this did not demand any particular powers of analysis or even clairvoyance, I suggested to you that if we, you and I, had understood correctly the adjustments made to the MP's expenses rules, then there was still a very real possibility of two MPs essentially swapping London residences and continuing to claim the money which would once have paid their mortgage but would now pay their rent and the other person's mortgage. Do you see what I mean? I remember it. We sat here spluttering, both of us. We were... Surely this is stupid, we said. I wish I'd got the tape, but it's a little bit arrogant to record everything you do on the grounds that 3 years down the line you're going to want to turn around and go, see? See? I told you so. But we looked at it together and we were certain that this was a loophole. It was such a... I nearly swore. It was such a glaringly obvious loophole that we had one of those Emperor's New Clothes moments. I remember it distinctly. Spent about an hour wrestling with it. A genuine Emperor's New Clothes moment where we sat here thinking, well, hang on a minute. This isn't necessarily going to fix any of the problems that have had us all spitting nails for the best part of 2009. The idea is simple. You should no longer be able to buy a house in London at our expense. It seemed a bit of a silly rule, to be honest with you, because the amount of money being spent on rent would not necessarily be any less than the amount of money being spent on a mortgage. But we all felt particularly aggrieved at the idea of a backbench MP waltzing away after 20 years of, frankly, inglorious service with £500,000 worth of prime London real estate or more that we had effectively bought for them. It just seemed to fit our sense of natural justice, didn't it, a little better to see them renting and then having to do what the rest of us do and fend for ourselves when their time in Parliament came to an end. So the idea they came up with was that you could carry on claiming to rent, but you couldn't claim to pay a mortgage. So I sat here and I said to you, well, what is to stop them paying each other's mortgages? And that's where we left it, back in 2009. Or was it early 2010? John Bercow, the Speaker of the House of Commons, has written to the expenses regulator warning him not to disclose official documents that show the identities of MPs' landlords for security reasons. Security reasons. The letter, which was released last night, states, and I kid you not, that the processing of this data could involve causing unwarranted damage and distress. I should be grateful if you and your colleagues would reconsider such a plan. Help me out here. Do you know what I would love to happen now? I'd love for you to tell me why actually you can see the sense in what Mr. Bercow has said. Why actually now is not the time to dust down the blunderbusses of outrage and disgust that we were firing off in all directions when the MP's expenses scandal first broke. Risk of sounding like Kevin Keegan, I would love it. I'd love it. I would absolutely love it if you could paint this picture in a way that didn't suggest they learned nothing and that Bercow is among now the worst offenders. They want to cover up landlords' names after Dr. Julian Lewis, a Conservative MP, disclosed in the Commons that freedom of information laws were being used to bring about the release of the information. He said, you'll remember the long campaign successfully waged 3 years ago to ensure that members of Parliament's addresses would never be disclosed as a result of freedom of information requests. A number of colleagues from both sides of the House have approached me about a freedom of information request that those colleagues who, unlike me, rent their properties should have their landlords' names disclosed. I want this to be true, but I cannot for the life of me see how it can be. There is concern that this could breach the security of MPs' home addresses. It's perfectly possible I'm missing something. It's perfectly possible I'm reaching for my cudgels too early. It's perfectly, perfectly possible that this is indeed a security issue, but I cannot see it. And the horror of this story, the true horror of it, is that by keeping it secret, we are left to wonder how widespread it is. What if it's only half a dozen MPs? What if we could name them before the travel news? Then you'd have a much smaller sense of it. You'd think, right, we know who they are. They've been fingered. Let's get them. But we don't know. So we're left to wonder how many do it. And we're left to look back at what went on in 2009 and wonder whether the moat cleaners and the duck house buyers and the people claiming for dry rot on a house 100 miles away from their constituency, we wonder whether they're actually all still at it or something like it. The single worst thing that happens when you cover things up is that the public will inevitably believe that there's even more being covered up than there actually is. Please help me out. Explain to me how this could possibly be anything other than absolutely rancid. And if you can't do that, then at least, well, come and sit on my lap, metaphorically speaking, because it's a lonely place feeling this cross. It really is. And you wonder as you look at it. The Telegraph clearly smell a rat, a particularly rancid rat. So do some other members of Parliament. This, I should add, is absolutely nothing to do with party politics. This could not be further from a party political point. In fact, the MPs I personally went after most viciously during the last round of MPs' expenses scandals were on the Labour side of the House. The two that offended me the most was my own MP, ex-MP now, thankfully, and the woman over in Luton, Margaret Moran. They were the ones that I found most egregiously offensive. So there's nothing here that could be construed as bashing one side of the House or the other. I guess the question really we should start with, forgive me for getting a little bit carried away, but you'll know that it is entirely sincere. At 10 minutes after 10, how cross should we be about this? Seriously, maybe I need to calm down. Maybe I need to take a chill pill, have a sip of green tea, count to 10, slowly, with my eyes shut, indulge in a little bit of meditative Buddhism. I don't know. But I can't at the moment see how the hell John Bercow could have got out of bed yesterday and thought this would do anything other than empty the bucket of ordure all over parliamentary process. And yeah, you know what else this does? It takes away your hope as a voter. It takes away your trust. It takes away your faith, however naive and blind that faith may be. It takes it away because you look at them and you think you're inadequate. You think, hang on a minute, why are you in charge? Hang on, you've gone into politics for all the wrong reasons. You did business under a false name. You over there, you swear at police officers. You look at them and you think to yourself, no, give them a chance. Give them a chance. At least they're doing it. At least they've, you know, in some cases, turned their back on more lucrative professions. Give them a chance. At least they're putting their money where their mouth is. But they're not. They're putting our money in their pockets.